And now, more civil societies, hearing ideas for real change.
Hi, I'm Julie Macken. Last week I saw a story in the Guardian newspaper that read as an almost how-to story on bringing a democracy like ours to its knees. It wasn't a story about war or being overrun by some invading army. It wasn't a story about revolution or the emergence of a dictatorship. But for all of that, it was the kind of story history students read when they're studying the fall of a political class or state. It's a story full of self-interest, double standards, unbridled privilege and real treachery. And in the current climate, it's a story that illuminates just how broken our social contract is. It begins like this. The National Council for Single Mothers and Their Children wrote to Malcolm Turnbull last Tuesday to protest at the changes which came into effect in January. And seriously, I don't know how the rest of us missed this grubby announcement last January, but fortunately the National Council didn't. The new policy requires those on a single parent payment and similar New Start payment to find a referee to sign a legally binding form verifying that the welfare recipient is single, and that includes a 12-month jail term for any referee that gets that wrong. In the letter to the Prime Minister, the Council made the point, lest he needed to be reminded about it, that these changes are completely at odds to how he dealt with the appalling conduct of Barnaby Joyce and his Lieutenant Julie Bishop. During the controversy over Joyce and his new partner, Vicky Campion, Turnbull deemed that Joyce had not breached the ministerial code of conduct when Campion was employed by the offices of Matt Canavan and Nationals whip Damien Drum. Turnbull said Joyce had not breached the code because Campion was not his partner at the time of her appointments. Meanwhile, Julie Bishop claimed $32,000 of taxpayers' money for family travel by her long-term partner, but did not declare his financial interest because she claimed he was not her spouse. So let's get this straight. His family when she's putting the bite on taxpayers for his travel, but he's just some Joe when it comes to declaring his financial assets. If you want to find out why single mums and dads are so freaking angry, just go to www.humanservices.gov.au/individuals/enablers/verifying-your-relationship-status. As I said, giving false information or reading that relationship wrong will now give you 12 months jail if you're a referee. Therese Edwards, the National Council's chief executive, told Turnbull the requirements effectively allowed Centrelink to police women's relationship status and that they were so demeaning they belonged in the 1970s. Frankly, Therese, I reckon 1950s is better. She also pointed out that the previous arrangements were less onerous and intrusive but still achieved third-party verification. She said, if we remain concerned for women who have left a violent partner, or women who require greater privacy, and as well for women who do not have a trusted third party because, guys, you can't use any family members for this. Edward said the double standard was clear. Low-income women were distrusted and required to have third parties approve they were telling the truth, while the federal MPs were able to self-determine the classification of their relationships. The findings for members of Parliament illustrate the complexity in contemporary relationships and particularly highlight the often significant gap from the onset of dating to the decision of shared parenting responsibilities, said Edwards. And despite this, the rule that your government, this is Turnbull's, now expect low-income single mothers to abide by in respect of developing relationships are out of step with contemporary Australia. Okay, so here we have a government that allows its own ministers to decide when their partner is a partner and when they're a stranger for the purposes of scrutiny and a great deal of money. $32,000 is a full-time wage for some folks, just quietly. But single mums and their friends will be pursued and possibly jailed for getting their estimation of that relationship wrong. The reason this is so injurious to democracy is because it delegitimises government, not just the Prime Minister and his dodgy mates, but the whole of government. When we see those in power getting away with blue murder while making life really grim for so many in the community, we do a couple of things. Some of us think, bugger that, if it's good for the goose, it's good for the gander, and we also rot the system. Others simply withdraw, unable to make sense of the ever-shifting goalposts, and they become kind of isolated and unhitched from the broader community. Still others struggle on, knowing the system is rorted, that no one really follows the rules, and that if you have enough power and influence, the rules no longer apply. And this breeds a depth of cynicism that is really corrosive. We're all impoverished by this kind of hypocrisy and bullying. Democracies have a breaking point, and I'm really worried that we are fast approaching ours, and if that happens, we all lose.
More Civil Societies, every week with Julie Macken and Eva Cox.